We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crowe, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you and happy 75th victory of the season to the Houston Astros. With that in mind, let's get busy. It is a Wednesday, August 7 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Sure, starting a touch late, but still and always on time on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. Here's how we're going to do it. We'll talk some Stros. We'll intro you to the show. A couple of great guests in our 5 o'clock hour. And then Clint and I will bring you until 6 o'clock. Don Allen and Company, 5 Guys, Stories, and Lies will be with you 6 until 8. Those cats get longer than me today. Hey, dim's the breaks. But anytime the Astros are this hot, we got to air them. 14-3 winners. Astros over the Rockies, 75-40 on the season. A.J. Hinch's crew, hats off. A couple of big performers, one at the dish and one from the bump. Yuli Gurriel, 8 RBI. Incredible. And Yuli, truly as hot as anyone since the All-Star break with a bat in his hand. Although Ronald Acuna Jr., who I saw recently in Atlanta, doing his best to maybe be the NL equivalent. From the mound today, Gerrit Cole follows up on a sterling performance last night from Zach Greinke. Today, 10 strikeouts, no walks from Gerrit Cole. All in all, Astros 5-0 on the homestand. A 2-game sweep of the Rockies. How about 47 runs scored during that 5-game winning streak at home? And we'll leave you with this thought. This is something you didn't hear in the post-game show moments ago from Robert Ford and company. A.J. Hinch was asked right after the game, and I've seen a couple of different beat writers on Twitter with this, is this the best offense that you've ever had? In a word from Hinch, probably. And that is definitely scary when you consider Verlander, Cole, Greinke. Oh, yeah, that guy Wade Miley, he's awfully good. If you're that strong at the front end of the rotation with Roberto Acuña, pretty well taken care of on the back end of the bullpen as well, and you couple that with probably the best offense that A.J. Hinch has had, this team right now is heading in the exact direction that you would want. So we're talking a little baseball to segue into Bumper to Bumper Sports today. We'll have a lot of football between now and 6. Here's how we're going to do it. On the other side of this break, actually going to break down LSU's 2020 football schedule. It was officially released today. I'll share the details. LSU basically taking on the state of Texas in the month of September. We'll give you the latest from LSU, UL, and Saints training camps, as well as fall camps, and the 2 great guests in our 5 o'clock hour. Hunt Palmer at 5:15, talking Tigers football. Sharif Ishak, WDSU-TV in New Orleans, talking the Saints' 11th practice of training camp. So only about an hour and 20 minutes today. You better believe Clint and I are ready to max out the space. Stick with us. More Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you quick, fast, and in a hurry on 103.7 The Game.
Ben?
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D. says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
I do believe this team understands this is a new year. Block out the noise, but they do understand that the margin of error to get where we want to go is a lot smaller this year. We can't make the same mistakes we made in those games to win those football games. So we're practicing like that. They're studying like that. The leaders are approaching the camp like that, the season like that. And I really appreciate that attitude.
The latest from Coach O, the margin slimmer this year, especially with the expectations. We'll tell you about how they're prepping for this year as well as what's on tap for next year because we just learned that today. Bumper to Bumper Sports back with you post-Astros on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And we've got some time for you to call in when you're ready. Don't forget, Hunt Palmer, 5:15, Sharif Ishak, 5:45, talking a lot of football in our full second hour. You want to get in before then? 706-0111. Clint, let's start with the news today so far. Again, LSU practice, at least the portion open to the media, starting to finish up as we speak now. This is day six for the Tigers, according to Brody Miller with The Athletic. No John Emery, no Derek Stingley or Christian Fulton, so both of your starting corners. No Grant Delpit or Kalavon Chaisaw. That's been the case just about all camp. No Rashard Lawrence for a second straight day. Sadiq Charles in a no-contact jersey. And no Derek Dillon. Again, I started yesterday's show with this, this missive to you. Don't get too up in arms about it. I understand that it's a lot of names. And not just, you know, run-of-the-mill names, but marquee names, starters, mostly defensive guys. I feel pretty good. And I feel pretty strongly that Ed Ogeron shoots the media straight more than his predecessor. They're going to tell you a lot of things. And if it were that bad, I think O would do exactly what his predecessor, Les Miles, did. Shut it down. How about no more media coming to advanced calisthenics, big cat drill, stuff like that. So I know a lot of names that are out there right now. I'm not sure that it would be accurate to describe it as a mass unit, but there you have it. Let's get to what is new today regarding next year, Clint. The full 2020 LSU football schedule was released. Weeks 1 through 3, I teased this at the end of our last segment, LSU taking on basically the entire state of Texas, except for A&M, because they get them last week of the season. The season opener next year will be against Frank Wilson and the UTSA Roadrunners, Tiger Stadium, September 5th. LSU won't have to leave the friendly confines of Death Valley. The next week, the Texas Longhorns invade Baton Rouge. That is week 2, September the 12th. And your week 3 ball game, LSU versus Rice, NRG Stadium in Houston, September 19th. I like that open to the season. And if you remember, Clint, Frank came on this show maybe a year ago before their last 2018 season. And I asked him about this game. We didn't know when it would be, just that there was one that was scheduled against UTSA. He said, yeah, that's part of the price you pay when you leave LSU. They are going to put you on the schedule.
Exactly, and that's going to be really fun to see open up the season. But what's more surprising, Ben, is the fact you have Rice. I completely slipped my mind with seeing that NRG Stadium in 2020. That's a weird one.
Sam Houston Institute of Technology.
Yes.
You better find a different abbreviation. They did. It's Rice, and it'll be over in Houston. It's a smart move, in my opinion, because here's the thing. If you're going to forfeit a home game, do it in a big-time venue, and that's the biggest venue, at least in terms of where the LSU alumni are. Houston, far and away, the largest base outside of the state of Louisiana. Now let's get to the final non-conference game. It's Nicholls State, October the 3rd. This one crept up on me and kind of surprised me. First time in school history. The Colonels and the Tigers.
That's amazing. I didn't realize that either. That's incredible, and I'm interested in that one as well. I mean, Tim Rebo, first chance up against LSU. I mean, Nicholls State has pulled off some crazier things in the past.
So what happens? Does Big Red, Gerald Grunig, just host my show that whole week?
I don't know.
Do I take a paid vacation leading up to October the 3rd, and Gerald Grunig has Tim Rebo on every single day? That actually would be pretty dope.
That would be pretty dope, not going to lie.
So, just saying. Big Red. Holler at me. We'll see if we can put this together. The home and away SEC slates for next year. It'll be Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Bama, and South Carolina, your four home games. The last time LSU played South Carolina, it was 2015, and that was after floods ravaged the Palmetto State, and it was a forced road game, unfortunately, for the Gamecocks. But it was listed as a South Carolina home game, even in Death Valley. I remember because I covered it. I also remember because I wanted to show everybody the placard that showed welcome to Williams-Brice Stadium or whatever it said, and you're laughing. Do you remember what I did?
I remember you taking the picture.
You've got a pretty good Twitter memory, so I was wondering how photographic it was.
Not 100%.
I forgot to take out the media username and password for the local Wi-Fi.
Thankfully, that probably doesn't work anymore. But that being said, Ben, you know, it was also Steve Spurrier's last stand.
That's right. And I think just for reprising that story, Kent Lowe is going to drive across the basin and stomp a mud hole in me. So, yes, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Bama, South Carolina, home next year in the SEC. Florida away, ditto for Arkansas, Auburn, and Texas A&M. So we'll talk plenty more about this year's edition of the LSU Tigers. There's a little scoop on next year. UTSA and Texas begin the season in Baton Rouge, followed by Rice against the Tigers from NRG Stadium in Houston week 3, and a first-ever meeting with the Nicholls State Colonels. So always interesting. Virg Osbury with one of the more intriguing jobs, and maybe in all of college athletics, putting LSU football's schedule together. It's interesting to me as well, Clint, that it's not the kickoff classic game that's in Houston, but they're going to do it in week 3. I still think they're making pretty darn good usage of it. All right, it's been, I don't know, like 14 minutes since we kicked off this hour, but let's end it in style, and we'll do it with one final word.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Spoiled! Did you see that last night, after a media opportunity, Ed Ogeron treated LSU beat writers and reporters to a resplendent meal inside the revamped nutrition center, inside the revamped team facility? And yes, that includes the ice cream machine too. And so they're just spoiled out there. Back in my day, you know, we just manned up, we covered the presser, and we went and got Jack in the Box. These cats are out there just as pampered as they could be. Coach O feeding LSU's reporters yesterday. But look, that's always the best way to do it. You want people to speak, write, do all those things, go on TV and be a talking head that gives you the best pub? Well, give them the best food that you got and give them access to the ice cream machine. They are spoiled, and so is yours truly, with a shortened show today. It's still the final word of this hour. It's brought to you by the Village Station. They'll love to spoil you whenever you get a chance. Located at 9405 Maurice Avenue, right next door to the Dollar General. We're coming right back in. Hunt Palmer, Sharif Ishak in Hour 2. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one. We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. Ben Love joined by the famous Clint D. And you know that means this is Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. For the next hour, a lot of great guests. Hunt Palmer coming your way in about 12 minutes. And that means that, 42 minutes from this exact moment, Sharif Ishak will join us talking Tigers, talking Saints, and we'll fit some Cajun sound in as well. Clint, you had so much fun with the drop at the end of last hour. You demanded we bring it back. So before I give you a slice of the Tigers, Cajuns, and Saints camps in this opening segment of our 5 o'clock hour, I told you. We had a routine. When I covered the beat, no, we didn't have Coach O that was offering up free meals in this lavish new cafeteria. For us, they were simpler times. Back in my day, you know, we just manned up, we covered the presser, and we went and got Jack in the Box. These cats are out there just as pampered as they could be. Coach O feeding LSU's reporters yesterday. Yeah, just go out there and bang home some Jack in the Box. You were laughing because I think you lived that life today, sort of.
Kind of, sort of. You know, definitely had to man up a little bit and then grab some canes right after the press conference and make it all the way back here to the station.
You know what almost inevitably happens when you're in the shoes I used to be in or the ones that you wear now?
Yes.
You get fat.
And I've learned that, definitely. Sure. Yes, I mean,
trust me. It's a real thing that can happen.
Canes is like a post-game tradition for me.
A tradition unlike. Well, yeah. Actually, it's a lot like those of many that are listening now. But let's get everybody not just a slice of Americana. Let's get them a slice of their favorite camps. We'll go LSU, Cajuns, Saints in that order. And all this sound pretty darn fresh. And so you want the latest from LSU football. We know the defense is banged up. And if you were listening at the end of our 4 o'clock abbreviated hour, we gave you the report from Brody Miller. No John Emery today. Day 6 of LSU practice. LSU was without both starting cornerbacks. Derek Stingley, Christian Fulton. No Grant Delpit, Kalavon Chaisson. Second straight practice without Rashard Lawrence. Sadiq Charles in a no-contact jersey along the O-line. And no Derek Dillon today at the wide receiver position as well. If you have a keen ear, you notice most of those players hail on the defensive side. Ed Ogeron said here, yeah, the defense is banged up, but I think he's going to give you some good news.
On defense, we're banged up on defense. We've got a lot of guys out right now, which is things that guys we're going to get back. But I wish they could be there in every rep, just like the offensive line is, to get better.
And so some of it is rest. I think in the case of a guy like Chaisson, that's exactly what's going on. Some of it, though, yeah, they're dinged up. They're minor injuries, right? We heard that about wide receiver Trey Palmer coming in from Kentwood. He's got a minor knee injury. Again, if we're having this same conversation in 2 weeks, then you can at least find the panic button. We're having it in 3 weeks. You can mash that bad boy. Let's get another one from Coach Ed Ogeron. I asked Shea Dixon about the other quarterbacks yesterday, the guys we don't know enough about yet. Here's what O had to say on Peter Parrish.
Good quarterback, good young man. Got a ways to go, you know, just like everybody else. It's a new offense, a new timing for him, very athletic, had a good 60-yard run, a dual-threat quarterback, great young man.
A slice of LSU camp there. Quickly, we'll spin the wheel and bring you this side of the basin to the Raging Cajuns. And today, the last time Billy Napier will speak with the press until, I believe, Friday afternoon. So here's what Napier had to say. How about a local player in the secondary from Acadiana High, Braylon Trahan, and Wreckin' Rams fans? Heck, for that matter, Raging Cajun fans, this is good news.
Been very impressed. I mean, there's no question. Very instinctive. He's got great range back there. I think he's got a good football IQ. And maybe he's not the best athlete, not going to run the best 40 time or have the best vertical, but very loose hip, fluid, and has instincts. You know, I think his off season has benefited him. Another year with Coach Tony, you know, another year in the film room. Certainly last year he did not go through the entire off season program or spring practice. So he's, you know, a product of his work. And I think for him to be able to get out there and play in the final four games of the year was a big deal for him, to give him some confidence. And certainly he'll be an impact player for us as well.
Yeah, forget about the 40, all right? Forget about the long jump. This isn't the underwear Olympics. I want football players. I remember watching Braylon Trahan at Acadiana. He certainly qualifies. One more for Billy Napier. We'll stay on that side of the football because Michael Jacquet, before last season, switched to that side from wide receiver. Napier said this is what the next level could look like for Jacquet.
I think certainly I've seen him play more effective, consistent football at corner so far. You know, I think there is still some inconsistencies there. I think there's some things relative to the discipline that goes with that position, the eye control, the fundamentals, conceptually knowing where he fits within each concept that we're playing on defense. But the guy's tall, he's long, he's fast, former quarterback, former receiver. I think he's got some instincts, certainly has the ball skills to make a play on the ball. But, you know, you can't coach the height, length, and speed that he has. And to go with that, I think he's a bright kid. I think the big thing for him is consistency in performance, you know, learning how to be an elite competitor, push yourself, get out of your comfort zone, and develop that toughness that's required with playing defense, and, you know, which is a little bit more of a physical approach over there. sometimes those guys that go from receiver to DB, that's part of their transition, and I think he's in the middle of that right now. But we've been pleased with Mike, and I know he's working hard to be more consistent, more effective in his job.
Clint, that's the first relative to of the show. It certainly isn't the first Billy Napier relative to of fall camp. Respect to Billy Napier for that.
Exactly. I mean, you dropped relative to, I believe, earlier in the press conference twice in one sentence. It's just absolutely amazing, Ben.
Are you correcting my pronunciation? I'm sitting here getting texts from you while doing a live radio show. Are you telling me that for the first time since this cat came over, I believe, from Beaumont, Texas, it's Jaquette?
Yes, this is something he told us about today. Like, well, for what it's worth, SID Josh Brunner wound up calling, saying, this is Michael Jaquette. And I'm like, wait a minute, it wasn't Jaquette the whole time? He's like, no, it's been Jaquette. And he's just telling us now in his senior season. What the hell?
Look forward to having Jacques Doucette on the show, our good friend from WAFB soon. That goes into the whatever you say department. Sure, we'll call you whatever you want to be called. All right, let's go to the Saints. Friday night, preseason game one in the Superdome. The Minnesota Vikings coming to town. And here Sean Payton says, it's just kind of a coincidence. We got all these former Vikings, including quarterback Teddy Bridgewater.
I think sometimes it's coincidence. Mike and I are close friends. We worked together for 3 years in Dallas. You know, there's that old saying, misery loves company, and we were both challenged by Parcells to be real good coaches. And but he's a close friend, and but a lot of it, I think, is more coincidence. You know, Latavius is a guy that we valued, and we needed a running back if we were to lose Mark. You know, then you get to some other positions, Nick Easton's position. A lot of it has to do with just timing.
I love every bit of that quote. He basically said Bill Parcells made us bleeping miserable, and so we learned to cope with it. All right, let's move on to Malcolm Brown. Yeah, I've had a lot to say about him so far in this offseason, all of it positive. I love the pickup from New England, but I'm interested. Here's what Malcolm Brown has to say on rookie center Eric McCoy.
Definitely. I mean, it's different. It's a little different in college here and everything. The speed's a little different. He's catching on. You can see every play he's getting better at that, and he's talking around the guys, and he's trying to find out little tips and taps there and everything.
How about one more on the same player? Here's Malcolm Brown on where McCoy excels.
He's real good at quickness. He's getting the plays down, and I mean, his communication is really good along the line, and I mean, his quickness is really good. It's there.
All right, we're going to move on to another offseason acquisition. CD, let's round out the segment with Jared Cook, and he has been, as many expected, a bright spot so far in this offseason, a receiving tight end. Here he goes in on his rapport with quarterback Drew Brees.
Our rapport is going great. We're still building, still learning each other, still talking things out. You know, I'm constantly in his ear as well as he is in mine. Talking about things in the locker room where if I just see him in the hallway, it's easy to just pop in and be like, you know, share my two cents on the route. As far as, you know, us growing up, you know, it's coming. You know, I think him and Coach Payton have done a great job at just being open with me about certain routes and asking how I like certain things and just kind of picking my brain a little bit as well. So, you know, it's going to continue to get better. It's going to continue to grow.
There you have it. Tigers, Cajun, Saints, all in one segment. The Astros got us behind the eight ball. That's okay. It's an Express Lane edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're coming right back in. Hunt Palmer joins us on the other side, so stick with us on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
And we are ready to talk some more LSU football. We got one of the best to do it. Bumper to Bumper Sports is back on 103.7 The Game and waiting aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Hunt Palmer, he'll reprise his role, pregame, postgame show host before and after LSU football. And you can listen to him on Acadiana Sports Station. How are you, Hunt?
I'm good, Ben. Weekends are about to get a little bit busy, so I'm going to duck out of town for a couple of days starting tomorrow morning and play a little golf before they start playing a little football.
That's a beautiful idea. I also was ready to come at you with the Cardinals nipping at the heels of the Cubs, but my Cards lost today. Your Cubs won, so the lead is 2.5.
You can crow. They blew that lead. That is so beautiful. A little 1-0 lead in the ninth, couldn't hold it.
I noticed that. Yeah. Fly your W and go fly a flag. All right, let's get to LSU football. The biggest leap that Joe Burrow takes between year one and year two as a starter, we know that's always an important year. What is it specific to him?
I think the thing that you'll see more of this year, I mean, everything's going to be better. You forget last year he was an older player, but it was his first year. I mean, that was his first go at it. So I think the thing you're going to see more of is him in the running game. Last year they just couldn't use him in the running game because Miles Brennan wasn't ready to play. He was hurt, the back was injured, and they were essentially playing with one quarterback and knew that if they ran him too much and risked his injury, they didn't really have anywhere else to turn. Now, you don't want to run him way too much and jeopardize him, but he's an effective runner, and they're going to run a lot of shotgun, a lot of read option, and I think you'll see him tuck it and run a good bit this year.
The offensive line, I know that Ed Ogeron says they're the most improved group on this team so far in camp. Your level of confidence in that group, not just the front five hunt, but with depth.
It's not there right now for me just because I'm not out there and can't see it. I mean, I can watch them hit the sleds. They look great at that. But that doesn't tell me about blocking an edge rusher from Florida or keeping Alabama off the line of scrimmage. And last year, a lot of this cast of characters was out there and was a very average unit and at times below average. And so it's a very big concern of mine. I think this offense has a chance to be very, very good. But the offensive line has got to be improved. And right now you're in the season where the coaches are basically going to tell you that everything's awesome, so I don't really take much of that to heart. I hope it's the truth and that these guys have improved, but right now it's a deal where they got to show me, and that's going to start in week two against Texas.
Talking shop with LSU football, Hunt Palmer, our guest on 103.7 The Game. You think back, Hunt, when you and I were having some fun together. I was at Tiger Rag, you were at BBI. I always have been fascinated with the running back pie chart and how it's divided. I mean, playing time, touches, all that. What's your version of that this year for LSU's running backs?
I don't want to compare the players, but I think comparing the usage is fairly comparable in terms of the 2011 team. Now, a lot of those guys went on to have really good NFL careers, but that's a year where Spencer Ware was the guy who got the carries early in the season, early in games, and I think that's where Clyde starts this thing. He's going to be the guy who gets the majority of the work early in the year and early in the games. But as you know, as time goes on, you're going to see some changes of pace, guys, and you're going to see guys' roles grow. In the 2011 team, you saw Michael Ford come in and use that speed. I think John Emery's got the ability to do a lot of that. You saw Alfred Blue come in and give you some touches. I think that there's a good chance that Ty Davis Price and Leonard Fournette can give you some touches if you need them. And I think you saw Kenny Hilliard that year really take over a lot of the workload later in the season. I don't know that they take quite, I don't think it takes quite that drastic a step, but I think John Emery is going to be a playmaker in this offense, and I think that what they want to do in terms of spreading the field, running out of the gun, using the guys in zone running and using them in the passing game, I think that fits John Emery, and I think he's the best home run hitter they've got on the team. I know that Twitter video that's got everybody ablaze, I don't think he's going to rip off 70-yarders all the time, but he's just got a different gear than the other guys do. So I think that there is not a Leonard Fournette on this team that's going to take the ball 26 times against the best team you play, and that's going to be your guy. That guy's not on this team. I think it looks more like 2011 where they really distribute the touches.
I dig that comparison. And, Hunt, since you brought up Michael Ford, I guess leading a horse to water, if he wasn't so horizontally challenged stepping out of bounds, does LSU score a touchdown in that 11 Bama game?
Right in front of me. I was trying to watch the game, but Aaron Andrews was standing there. I had a little bit of distraction, but sure. Inevitably it worked out.
Yeah, no, it did. It ultimately did work out. Biggest win, certainly, of this decade. Let's go to the defense. I'll get your two cents. I'm not overly concerned with the rash of injuries or players that are being rested. I'll get your take on that.
No, not at all. That's just part of it this time of year. And to be quite honest, a lot of those guys in Dave Aranda's system for their second, third, fourth year don't need to be out there every single day in 100 degrees bashing helmets together. They just don't. They understand where they need to be. They're in good enough shape. They just need to ease in. And if they need a day off, they get a day off. Last year, I don't think Joe Burrow could take any days off in camp because he was coming into a brand-new situation, into a new system that he didn't know anything about and had to figure it out on the fly. He needed all the reps he could get. Rashard Lawrence doesn't need any reps. Kalon Chaisson doesn't really need any reps. I realized he missed all last year, but those guys are smart. They understand the system. They're in good shape. They're really good players. There is absolutely no need to push those guys into contact during camp.
So we talked confidence with the offensive line. On the D line, I'll ask you about the interior. And I continue to wonder, I guess, how much stock we should put in Tyler Shelvin losing weight and being ready. The same thing with Apu Aika being ready immediately. Do those guys have enough combined to take that position and man it? Or do you think Rashard Lawrence, Braden Fajoka are going to be forced to work inside because of maybe some of their deficiencies?
Well, I think that's one thing is when I go out to practice, look, I'm not a scout. I'm not a coach. I never played college football. For me to sit there and watch 20 minutes and say who's good and who's not is just ridiculous. Like, I can't do that. But what I can tell is who's lost weight, who looks like they need to add weight, who looks physically ready, and that kind of stuff is obvious. And it is obvious that Tyler Shelvin has gotten into better shape. That's, you can just look at him. There's no doubt. So that's encouraging. I still don't notice that he's totally explosive, but that's not the role of the nose in the 3-4. The role is to sit there and take up space and kind of push the interior of the offensive line. And he and Aika are just huge human beings. They're going to be difficult to move. So I think you're going to see them the majority of the time. If that's not working for some reason, Ed Ogeron has hinted that they'll go to a four-man front and they'll kick Fajoko down in there and put Glenn Logan on the outside with Lawrence on the other side and maybe do a little bit something different. They have more depth there than they've had in the past, and they can do some more things. So I think that time will tell if Shelvin and Aika are ready to play. They look to be in pretty good shape, and they look to be – they're different than LSU has had in the past at that spot. I mean, Greg Gilmore was really more of a 4-3 tackle instead of a 3-4 tackle, but he was the only guy they had, so you had to plug him in there. These guys look the part of 3-4 nose. We'll just have to see if they can do it or not.
Another moment or two with Hunt Palmer, the LSU Sports Radio Network. Hunt, if I were to say that Jacob Phillips is about to have a Kevin Minter special type of season, it won't look like what we saw last year from Devin White, but just an absolute, 115-plus tackle bona fide type season. You would buy that?
Wouldn't shock me at all. I think that he's ready to step into that role. It's comforting that he's a third-year guy in that role. I think that he's kind of the middle of that defense. I think, obviously, they put 18 on Chase on, and Rashard Lawrence demands a ton of respect in that locker room, and Grant Delpit may be the best defensive player in the country. So for me to call it Jacob Phillips' defense would be disingenuous, but he's a huge piece and certainly the guy on that level. We'll have to see what they do around him, but I think that the staff really likes him. He's shown that he can be a productive player at this level, and if he takes a step to become an All-American type guy, it wouldn't stun me.
How good do you think Texas is this year? I'm already looking ahead to week two. How good are the Longhorns?
I think at this time of the year, we judge teams based on their bowl performance and if their quarterback's back. And so, for Texas, that's a huge win in the Sugar Bowl and a really good player coming back at quarterback. But if you open one of these preseason magazines or you do a little bit of digging, you realize just how much they lost off that defense and just how much they lost off that receiving core. So Ellinger's awesome, and Herman's a really good play caller, and he's recruited pretty well. Are those guys ready to help yet? We'll see. I'm cautiously optimistic for LSU because I thought LSU was going to go up to Lambeau Field and just absolutely dominate Wisconsin. I thought that team had so much coming back and so much talent at Fournette and Dupree and Jamal Adams and a quarterback returning, and they had Tre'Davious White and Kendall Beckwith come back, and I'm going, well, they're just going to kill Wisconsin. And they were lucky to be as close as they were in that game. So I don't want a repeat of that. But I think that LSU is probably better than Texas. The fact that game's in Austin, it could go either way.
This is always fun, Hunt. And if you keep it score at home, I believe in this interview, I opened you up to remind me of my Cardinals losing today and my Georgia Bulldogs losing in the Sugar Bowl. So that's good.
I'm sorry to put a damper on your Wednesday, but you're almost off work, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. You're just telling facts as well. By the way, tell the folks again, I know I mentioned you're going to be in that same role you've had recently. We had Brandon Taylor on earlier this week, so you, Brandon, and Marlon, that ought to be fun as well.
Yeah, it's always a blast. Those guys obviously have a lot of hardware to their name in Baton Rouge, and they have Super Bowl ring on the practice squad with the Saints. So those guys have a ton of information, and it's a lot of fun. We come on 2 hours before the kickoff of every game for the home games right outside of Tiger Stadium and enjoy everybody coming to hang out with us there. And then post-game, right about 27 minutes after the game ends, we take over for about an hour, answer Twitter questions, and react to the game. And and always have a good time. It's more fun when they beat Georgia by 100 than it is when they lose to Troy. I've learned that in my 2 years on the air, but I'm looking forward to year number three, and hopefully the Tigers have another good year.
He is Hunt Palmer. Look, have a few beers and then hit them straight in that order tomorrow.
You better believe it, man. Thanks, man.
Hunt Palmer with the LSU Sports Radio Network. We got to put a bow on this segment. He really is a sharp interview. Great having Hunt aboard. When we return, time to throw some shade, and then Sharif Aishak. Speaking of some sharp tools, we'll take that one out of the box at 5:45 to talk New Orleans Saints training camp. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Yeah. So much rhythm. Babysitting your kids while they play the jazziest jazz I've ever heard jazzed is totally fine. But what's actually frustrating is the check you're handing me and the days it will take to clear. Next time, just send me money with Zelle.
Night out better. Pay your sitter easily with Zelle. Look for Zelle in your banking app.
Must have a bank account in the U.S. to use Zelle. Zelle is an early warning services trademark.
Hey, don't forget tomorrow, Bumper to Bumper Sports will be out on the road at the Tap Room River Ranch. It's going to be a great show. Blaine Viator stopping by to talk high school football. We'll have the latest on LSU, UL, Saints Camp 2. If you've never been to a live show at the Tap Room, come start your weekend early with us. They've got more than 40 beers on tap, the best flatbreads in town, and, of course, the wings with the schwing sauce. It's B2BS tomorrow, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
Just a clinical interview and entertaining as well. Hunt Palmer was with us in the last segment. In the next segment, don't forget Sharif Aishak aboard. But as we return, you know what time it is. We're ready to throw some shade. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. I don't want to waste any time because we've got a two for today, and both have some legitimate meat on the bone. One, in fact, you just can't make up this kind of stuff. So with no more further ado, your daily reminder, a PSA locally, that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to their website, patiocenter.com. Check out the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, the standing seam metal awnings, and the retractable shades and screens. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. Alex will be the one to work on your shades and awnings, while Todd mans the installation of your patio covers in those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the pros at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Oh, with this first one, I think we've all been here before. Okay, perhaps not. You're trying to pass the old drug test to, you know, keep your job, and you decide that you need to use a little fake urine, or at least somebody else's. Again, we've seen things kind of like this before, right? Christian Fulton thought his test was for one thing, turns out it was for another, cost him the better part of 2 years at LSU. Talking about LSU starting cornerback, this is a horse of a completely different color. DJ Cooper, who played at Ohio University basketball from 2009 to 2013, he's been a part of the Wizards organization. Past few years, he's kind of slummed it around Europe with teams in Greece, Monte Carlo. He spent some time coaching with the Bosnian national team. But most recently, DJ Cooper was hit with a 2-year suspension by FIBA after using his pregnant girlfriend's urine to try and pass a drug test. Wow. Cooper needed to pass the test to join a basketball team in Bosnia as a naturalized player. Tested positive for human chorionic gonadotropin, naturally, which is produced by women during pregnancy. So just another PSA, not just locally, but apparently it's needed abroad as well. If you're going to try to pass that thing with flying colors, if you know that you can't pass it on the natch, look, I'm no authority on this subject, but probably don't go to a female, in particular one who is pregnant. So DJ Cooper, 2-year suspension from FIBA for testing pregnant. That's going to defy the laws of, well, just everything that we know, right? Unbelievable storyline. Somehow, I'll segue into reaction to yesterday's big story. John Rothstein, CBS Sports, comes out with the news that now, if you want to represent a player that's going to test the NBA waters coming out of college, you got to have, what, 3 things under your belt. You got to have 3 years as a registered agent with the NBPA, got to have a bachelor's degree, and you got to go take a test in person at the NC2A office in Indy. It's been widely perceived as the Rich Paul rule, and here's what LeBron James had to say. LBJ, of course, childhood friends with Rich Paul. LeBron kind of is the shadow king of clutch sports, and here in South Louisiana, we know all about that. That's why Anthony Davis is in La La Land. LeBron on Twitter, his response, a whole bunch of laughing emojis, followed by can't stop, won't stop. They big mad and scared. Nothing will stop this movement and culture over here. Sorry, not sorry. So there you have it, the LBJ response to what's being dubbed the Rich Paul rule. Whether you're trying to fake the funk with your pregnant girlfriend's pee, or you just got your boy's back because he's been your agent since jump, today was a day I was looking forward to when it came time to throw in shade.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
DJ, I don't know how to put this, but you're pregnant. All right, no, that's not the case. He's not, and he also can't play basketball for 2 years. But piggybacking Clint off of that other storyline, I wanted to play some national reaction to the Rich Paul rule. And Max Kellerman, who's been spitting some absolute BS as of late, saying that Kobe belongs on the all-worst decade team in the odd decade. Yeah, literally, one of his co-hosts, Molly Karam, walked off the set. But here's what Max Kellerman of the Mothership had to say about the Rich Paul rule.
Who the hell is the NCAA to tell anyone who they can deputize to represent their interests? Of all the condescending, paternalist, but especially controlling nonsense, this is an organization that has behaved despicably, consistently through the years, as it relates to their attitude toward the athletes. They need to protect this veneer of amateurism because that's what they're selling back to you, right? This is not the best leagues below the NBA in the world or anything like that. They're selling, but it's more popular than, like, the G League.
All right, that's enough for Max Kellerman, because I want to get to Rich Eisen, somebody I respect more from the NFL Network. Rich Eisen says, who needs a bachelor degree?
Is the NCAA doing the bidding for people who are getting their ass beat by Rich Paul? That's a good question. Bachelor degree. Who needs a bachelor degree? You know who doesn't have a bachelor degree? I tweeted this out, because I looked it up. Steve Jobs? Nope, he didn't finish college. Peter Jennings didn't finish college. Ellen DeGeneres didn't finish college because they wanted to make my point on Twitter. I couldn't go down the list. Paul Allen didn't finish college. Michael Dell didn't finish college. Who needs a bachelor degree? And by the way, some people can't afford a bachelor degree. So you're telling people who can't afford to go to college and get a bachelor degree, you have no shot at being an NBA agent for a specific group of kids that's very important for you to be able to represent.
He ain't wrong, but he is reminding me where apparently I went wrong. Clint, I would be a multi-something heir if I just hadn't graduated college. That damn bachelor degree, both of them that I have, what are you doing for me now? Fun show so far, and we're going to have more of it on the other side. Sharif Eishak joins us live from New Orleans, talking Saints training camp when we return. You are locked into Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back around like a boomerang on 103.7 The Game.
Thursday, we had a tremendous show lined up for you. We had John Marques,
on from the Town Talk. We have James Yasko from the Lima Time Time podcast joining us, talking all things Stros. Les East from CrescentCitySports.com talking Saints. And a very special guest, Marty Smith from the Mothership, will join us talking his new book. All that and much, much more right here on RP3 and Company on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game.
Twin Peaks is your ultimate sports lodge with a menu to match. Pair any of our made-from-scratch menu items with a frosty 29-degree draft beer served by a beautiful Twin Peaks girl, and you're in for a legendary sports-watching experience. Now's the time to book your team's fantasy football draft party at Twin Peaks. Contact your local Twin Peaks today to take advantage of sweet draft party prizes for the whole league. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Been to Mr. Gaddy's Pizza? It's a utopia for pizza lovers. Mr. Gaddy's Pizza is a buffet-style pizza restaurant with all-you-can-eat pizza and salad bar and all-you-can-eat spaghetti and dessert pizzas and Coke Freestyle machines with over 150 drink combinations. It's a pizza utopia! Even better, Mr. Gaddy's Pizza is kid-friendly with game rooms for the kids where they can win prizes. And Mr. Gaddy's is a great place to have birthday parties, or Mr. Gaddy's can bring the party to you with their catering. Fresh ingredients, real cheese, there's even Dolas Pizza. Mr. Gaddy's in Crowley, Eunice, and Jennings, or online at gaddyspizza.com. It's pizza utopia!
Get carried away in style with Limousines LTD's fleet of chauffeur transportation. Each of Limousines LTD's fleet is appointed with splendid comforts to make your ride magnificent for yourself or up to 14 passengers. For business, weddings, social events, or a night on the town, select the crown jewel of transportation, Limousines LTD, to be your designated driver. For a free quote, visit LimousinesLTD.com or call 896-8966. Get carried away with Limousines LTD.
Attention first responders, police officers, firefighters, military, and former military personnel. If you have an acre or more of grass to cut, Skag Zero Turn Mowers would like to thank you by offering you a special discount with their Simply the Brave First Responders program. Save big money on the industry's top-rated zero-turn mowers at Nolan's Lawnmower in Carrancroft. Nolan's can also offer well-qualified buyers 0% financing for 48 months. Come by Nolan's Lawnmower at 3547 Northwest Evangeline Thruway and check out the full line of Skag Zero-Turn Lawnmowers.
Ah, the copperhead snake. It hisses before attacking. But that's not a copperhead. That's the Sullivan's RV freshwater tank overflowing into their black one, which is backing into their vent pipe, making for a very different kind of attack. One that arrives just in time for taco night. It's wild out there. When it gets too wild, Progressive has your RV covered. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This is Andrew Bogish with your Rome Report. It's not a full swing and miss from the NCAA. It's more like a foul tip. College sports governing body has issued a new list of requirements for agents who want to represent players testing the NBA draft waters. It's a noble thought, trying to prevent these young men from getting bad career advice. So requiring these agents to be certified by the NBA Players Association for 3 consecutive years makes sense. That way we know they're experienced. And making them pass a test about NCAA bylaws lessens the chance of the players getting in trouble. But the NCAA requiring these agents to have any bachelor's degree is pointless. It doesn't accomplish the goal of protecting teenagers. A random degree doesn't make you a better agent, nor does it guarantee you'll give good advice.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/19.
Round here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed, between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, will call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Back in and ready to talk New Orleans Saints football. Training camp day 11 was today. We got just the man to tell you all about it. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back with you, taking you home on 103.7 The Game. And, of course, aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, our good friend Sharif Eishag, WDSU-TV in the Big Easy, a recently married man. Sharif, congratulations. Welcome back to the show.
Appreciate it, Ben Love. Hope you're doing well yourself.
Life is good here. I want to start with the rookies, and I think most of us would have assumed that, the McCoy kid from Texas A&M, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, certainly they were going to make the roster, or at least you would assume, and maybe both play big roles. I was sleeping on some of the others. Tell me about their progress and what they've done so far in camp to maybe help solidify a chance at getting one of the 53-man.
All right, so we'll just go ahead and say that Eric McCoy is going to be the starting center. It's his job to lose. C.J. Gardner-Johnson has been making some outstanding plays, made a beautiful play today, a tipped interception over the middle of the field. That guy's getting a lot of playing time and talented guy for them to see him in the mid-round. The other defensive back they stole in the sixth round, who's had a tremendous camp, is Saquon Hampton out of Rutgers. The rookie has been flying all over the place. Sunday at the Tulane practice, he drifted back and made a great play. I put it on my Twitter, intercepting Drew Brees. That was the first time Drew Brees had been intercepted this entire training camp in 11-on-11 drill. But he's been making some good plays. You know, they expect him to be, you know, a contributor on special teams, but if he continues to do this, he's going to have a really good chance to play in the defensive back department for the Saints this season. So he's been the one I think that's really surprised me. Kaden Ellis had shown some flashes, making some plays here and there at linebacker, but you know his dad. So, you know, having that bloodline, and then his dad had to move to Ellis, played in the NFL. So, you know, he's probably going to make the team if he plays some decent special teams. That's the best way to crack this team is on special teams and move your way in on the defense. So, I think when you look at Hampton and Ellis, those two guys have played really well so far this training camp, and they're going to have a chance to really elevate their status as Friday night's game comes along and then next week in L.A. with the joint practice. So I've been really impressed with those two guys. Another guy I can give you is the undrafted rookie receiver, Emmanuel Butler out of Northern Arizona. He's been out the last five practices, got hurt a little bit, nicked up. He was working off on a side today, and Sean Payton hopes to have him back sooner than later, as he would say. Feels like he's close. He's a guy that, you know, he's hoping that could hopefully play Friday against the Vikings. He's made a lot of outstanding plays. It seems like he was really linking up with Drew Brees quite a bit throughout those practices that he was in.
Tell me, Sharif, about the running backs not named Alvin Kamara. How much you expect him to play Friday night at home against the Vikings, and I guess the guys that are getting the most runs so far after AK-41.
Okay, I mean, there's Latavius Murray. He missed a few practices last week. He's been back the last few practices, so we'll just go ahead and throw his name off to the side with Alvin Kamara because, you know, a big bruising running back like him at 6'3", 220, 225, you know what he can do. So the other guys, you know, Dwayne Washington has, you know, he's filled in well, admirably, while Murray was out during those three or four practices of training camp. You expect to see him get some run. He had a 100-plus-yard game last season in the Carolina finale in the game that they, you know, really didn't need to play anyway because they had the number one seed locked up. But he showed some flashes there. He's done that for training camp. And I think he's fighting. He's fighting to lock up that number three running back position. And then Devon Zigbo, the undrafted rookie at Nebraska, you know, he's, you know, had a solid camp. And he also filled in while Murray was out. And he had a pretty good play the other night. Tulane Breeze was in the, I guess, about 5 or 6 yard line. And a blitz was coming from the outside to Mario Davis. And Zigbo did a good job picking it up, giving Breeze a couple extra seconds to find Traquan Smith in the back of the end zone. So, you know, those are the type of plays. Those small things eventually get seen by Joel Thomas, the running back coach, and, of course, Sean Payton, the head coach, and that's the type of stuff that'll get you in the ball game.
Our guest is Sharif Eishag, WDSU, covers the Saints like a glove down in the Big Easy. And when you monitor games like Friday night and the other three preseason games, Sharif, especially with this team, are you more looking at position battles, who's going to start, who's going to work into platoon time, or are you more dialed into who's going to make the roster?
Well, at this point, since they're so deep, and I guess this is a good thing to have it, who's going to make the roster, this 53-man roster, because they're loaded. So you're trying to see who can, like, be that second or third team guy who's going to make the team. So I think that's what you're looking at. Some of those guys I just named a second ago with, you know, Butler, Ozigbo, Dwayne Washington, even the Caden Ellis is a late round draft pick. So it's, you know, the Cyril Grayson, the track star from Rummel and LSU, that if this is what the preseason is for, those guys to see if they can crack the roster. But with this team, you want to see what more they can do. They can't just do one thing. You have to do multiple things. That's been the thing with Sean Payton. You have to do multiple things if you want to crack this team. And, you know, Ben, over the years, that's where they've been good at is undrafted rookies. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot of them get playing time in these four preseason games and you see a few of them actually make the 53.
Let's go to receiver next. Obviously, the given is Michael Thomas. After that, Ted Ginn Jr. Would you say it's Keith Kirkwood next in line, Tre'Quan Smith? How's competition for playing time going at wideout?
I would say right now the other guy who's not really getting a lot of, like, recognition and should is Tre'Quan Smith. He's been opening eyes like he did last training camp, but he's trying to figure out a way to take it past what he was last season.
He hit that proverbial rookie ball
last season. Many players do, and I feel like he's probably learned. I think that's what he was trying to learn this offseason and during this training camp is how to keep it going instead of hitting that wall. And he's been making some big-time plays. He's made some Sunday at Tulane. I keep referencing the Tulane game, the Tulane practice, because a lot of plays were made in that one that you could see from up close, and he was one of the guys that made a few plays, and he's made some here in Metairie. So, yeah, I would say he's the next guy behind Thomas, Ginn, and then it's him. Of course, Jared Cook, and you can throw him in as a receiver, too. I mean, by claiming him as a tight end, but he lines up everywhere. So, yeah, you would say Tre'Quan's the guy there, and then after that, you know, if Emmanuel Butler didn't get hurt, I think he would have been in the conversation. So we'll see whenever he comes back into the lineup healthy.
Sharif, I don't know how much of this you can really decipher from training camp, but what do you anticipate in terms of the role of Taysom Hill this year as compared to last year? I'm talking how they use him as well as maybe the frequency that he hits the field.
I think you're going to see some extended throwing. I think you'll probably see him line up in the same position under center or shotgun, and they may geek a few defenses, like to think that he's going to run the read or he is just going to keep the ball. Instead, he drops back, play action, and he actually launches it down the field. So a lot of teams are going to think, well, he's in here. We know this play. This play looks similar to last year. And that's what they want. That's what Sean Payton and them want the defenses to think. And next thing you know, he throws it down the field and completes it. They want to see if they can, you know, trick a few defenses into, like, you know, that's what he did last year, but ends up doing something different this year. So you're going to see him do a little bit more. They're going to expand his options this year to throw the ball.
Finishing up with Sharif Ishak on 103.7 The Game. I'll ask you about the return men, both in punting and kicking situations. Are those jobs sewn up or still open?
I would think the leader in the clubhouse would be Mark DeSherrill, Minnesota Vikings. By the way, they have 5 Minnesota Vikings on this team, so on this roster right now. So I think it would be his job to lose. And maybe you have Austin Carr back there taking in kicks. Gerald Grayson has been back there as well. But I think Sherrill's one. And then Carr, too. I wouldn't be surprised if Cyril Grayson's, like, the, you know, fighting with Austin Carr for that second spot. But you need somebody. You need somebody because they haven't had somebody back there returning punts consistently or kickoffs just consistently since Darren Sproles. So, God, that part of the game is probably the biggest part that's missing for the Saints.
All right, well, you and I talked about this off the air. Let's have some fun on the air. You and your wife now, and I said congratulations earlier, you pulled the okey-doke on me, at least, because it looked on Twitter like you got married at one point, and then 10 days later you said, dude, I'm getting hitched today. I can't come on the show. So how the hell did that happen?
So the original date was Saturday, July 13th, and, you know, that nice little warm front Mary passed through here, and it kind of ruined everything. And the place that was holding my reception was like, you know, well, you got to make a decision by Thursday morning. And on the meteorologist said, if you can postpone it a couple of weeks, just go ahead and do it. And they let me postpone it a couple of weeks. So, of course, a couple of weeks later would have been, you know, the first day of Saints training camp, July 26th. So we pushed the reception, the streetcar, all that stuff to the 26th. But we did the ceremony at the Pontchartrain Hotel on the rooftop bar at Hot 10. They were nice enough to open it up for us for as long as we needed. So it was a quick 5-10 minute ceremony, 15 people showed up, so that made it the official, like, actually I do wedding date. Had a nice little party downstairs, and we went out. And then in 2 weeks later, the 26th, Friday the 26th, we actually had the reception, reenacted the streetcar for the pictures, and we, you know, had a good time.
That's a beautiful thing. My brother, it will last a lifetime. Congrats again to both of you. I appreciate the Saints knowledge as well. Have a great day.
All right, Ben, no problem.
What a guy, and what a show this was, at least I think so. We appreciate the great guests we got to talk to. The Astros dumped us in late, but certainly we kicked it up a notch while we had some time. So our thanks to everybody who stopped by, you for listening, and for the famous Clint D. My name is Ben Love. Quickly, let's shuffle out and welcome in Don Allen and company. Five Guys, Stories and Lies are next. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. Catch you tomorrow from the Taproom River Ranch, beginning at 4 on 103.7 The Game.